The last in the morning, how to finish, I know we got distracted in our order of operation. I'm going to take the first round of hands. Let's follow how we're doing the morning five issues, and then we then get the entity to respond, either from the DM, the department, and issues based on what has been raised, and then we take the second round. So it's going to be two rounds in terms of the issues. If there's a reference number of Educan, please just indicate whether you're making a reference to a page in the corporate plan or a slide number, so that when they respond, they are able to go straight to where you are raising the issues to. I see Honorable McKenzie's hand is already up. Honorable Zodetsi. Honorable Shin. Honorable Killian. Honorable Maseko. Honorable Zongeni, GM wanted to reflect something before we start. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I really want to thank the leadership of SUTEC in view of the fact that their presentation in a way clarifies once more to us what is their mandate, and they are in line and on target. And also they began to talk to some of the challenges that we have, that our SOEs, when they report, often they don't really talk about inclusion pathways, something which is critical and central to our inclusion agenda. Like they've gone to a greater extent by conceptualizing the foundation, which will give them a broader scope. Of course, I'm sure we'll still get more information on it, but we'll focus on skills development, enterprise development, and so on. So I just thought I should acknowledge that. And another point which I just wanted to flag, a broad one, was that they made reference to their state of readiness vis-a-vis digital migration. I must say it's one of the entities which seem to have prepared very well for our switch-off, switch-on date. But unfortunately, Chairperson, we have this legal challenge at the moment where one of the broadcasters have gone to court to challenge some aspects of our policy. That might be a hindrance, but on the whole, their readiness is going to help us a lot, so that as soon as the legal challenge is cleared, then we forge ahead in terms of being in compliance, meeting the deadline of moving from analog to digital migration. Thank you very much, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, GM. Members, let's follow in the
court. Thank you, Chair. And I can just start off with a comment that doesn't count as one of the five. Dr. Mohapi, it's always been a pleasure to deal with a company that's as well run as this. And I'm sure you and your team must be congratulated for not only your team audit, but the way in which you've managed this company, the way you've presented your documents, the way you've not only understood, I think, the nature of running a business, but also how to keep it going sustainably, which is to consistently innovate. And just from the presentation we've heard today, I can just see the innovation coming through and always hanging ahead of the technology curve. So I'd really like to congratulate you and your team for that. That Chairperson, that doesn't count. That was very complimentary. In terms of, if I can just refer you to your... the very well-produced corporate plan, On page 8, you referred to a total of $831 million to be spent on CapEx over the medium-term expenditure framework period. And then you said which only $81 million will be from external funding. And I seem to remember last year that all your capital expenditure was funded from internal resources. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I found that particularly impressive and particularly noteworthy. So this $81 million that you're looking for externally, where are you looking to get it from? And why is it necessary to borrow externally? That's the first one. Then page 39, in terms of your organizational culture and human resources, there was some strike action or some labor unrest in your Honeydew operations, as far as I remember, last year. You resolved that fairly quickly, and again, you should be congratulated for that. What steps, what plans have you put in place to make sure that kind of thing doesn't occur again? Obviously, you're a very strategic resource for our country. A comment, at least one of my questions for a comment. Again, a complimentary comment. It's nice. No. There's only number three. Number two. And this is number three. In terms of your key performance indicators on page 48 onwards, your performance targets, you've broken them down into quarterly performance targets. And I wish we could see that in more entities that report to this committee, because by breaking it down like that, not only do you give your own people a very clear indicator of what you expect them to do in that quarter, you allow us as a committee to very effectively monitor the progress that you're making throughout the year. So I'd like to also single that out for noteworthy compliments. I was going to talk about the diversity of the directors, but clearly you don't fix what's broken, what's not broken. The presentation itself, and I think this is my last question, I was just saying to my colleague that when you do a degree in university, a degree almost teaches you knowledge is power, and a degree teaches you a certain code, depending what discipline you're using, so that you can communicate in that code with people who've done a similar discipline and exclude people that don't know what you're talking about. So if you're a doctor, you can use very fancy terms, and if you're a layman, you don't understand what the doctor's talking about. We're just talking about a headache, but, you know, it's something else. And I think the same applies to the presentations that you put forward. So when you present to us as MPs and you ask us to approve something, when you talk about content and things like that, when really what you mean to say is a TV program or a radio program, or you know what I'm saying? When you present, I'm a very simple man. So when you present to me, if you could, what is a content distribution value chain? You know what I mean? Is it like the guy that films the television program and then sells it on it? If you could kind of code it in that sort of language to make it easier for me to understand the simple man, I would appreciate that, because that would help me better to understand your business better and then understand your business model better. I'll cut it short at that. Thank you, Chairperson. I will go for round two. Thank you.
Because of the time constraint, Dr. Rush, on the other issues of the presentation. So I think I'm missing some pages here. Maybe what I'm going to ask has been touched on, but I'll ask it anyway, and I'll hear from you if you did touch on it, because the presenter was rushing. On the financial sustainability, one of the challenges lies in the company's ability to balance the operating revenues to operating uncertainty and cost of sales, which are projected to increase by 11% and 3% year on year. And on the other hand, we've alluded to the escalating operating costs. Is there mitigation strategies to deal with the escalating costs for you to reach your target? And the presentation also has a very brief presentation on human capital, but from the matter copy, a number of issues have been raised on HR. I won't go to all of them, I'll just skip others. But on the training that is offered, it is not officially recognized by South African Education Authority. And I think every training, there's money involved in it, and if that be the case, it could be, you know, a further expenditure. If you can elaborate on the kind of training and the credibility of the service provider. And issues that are raised again around the human resource issues also include issues of low morale, lack of motivation, lack of skills development, a whole lot of issues raised here. Given the situation, how will you deal with performance evaluation if this is the situation for it to be seen as a fair or AJF process? And I think I'll come back again. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. In the Chairperson's report, in the strategic report, so you said that you made a specific challenge for you, which is the yet-to-be-commercialized digital terrestrial network, which will be running an unfunded mandate for the last 2 years. That's, I presume, in 2019-2018. That far ahead, you still will not have that you'll be running an unfunded mandate until then. Can you give us some, I find that, you know, a long period, one hoped that you'd be starting to reap the benefits of this far faster. If you can explain why you think it's going to take that long. And if so, could you give us some idea of the cost of an unfunded mandate to you on an annual basis? I then move on to dual illumination. Do you have any idea when you're going to have dual illumination, how long that period will be? Because you say you've only been funded until 2016, and that is, what, $95 million for 2016, the current financial year, that's right? Or the 2015 and 2016. So if you've got funding for 2 years, okay, because you've got dual illumination costs for a while. If you can give us an idea of what you're being funded for at the stage of FTO and when you expect to start spending, presumably, and what the plan is for dual illumination. The delay in BICASA in issuing licenses to the new pay TV, or permanent licenses to the new pay TV stations. I think there's four of them still outstanding. Have you any idea what's happening with those? Have you had any negotiations with them to find what's happening? And also, again, what the cost to your bottom line is of ICASA's delays in those. Presumably those would be quite lucrative customers. Yeah, I just want an explanation here, these on digital media services. This is now the slide presentation number 32. You've divided it into broadcasting signal distribution services, this slide. And on the broadcasting side, you've said the digital services include DTT. In the digital media services columns, you've got wholesale DTH. You don't include DTT in the digital media services. I would have presumed that would have been some funding. Can you explain why you've excluded it? But surely digital terrestrial television is part of the white space spectrum that's going to be available, the whole radio, wireless broadband on it. Why you've excluded from that? You know, probably just being dwarf, but I really would appreciate an explanation. And that'll do me. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, just a comment, which is hopefully not taken as one of the five interventions. Just to say that it is indeed good to see an entity that was going on a very poor trajectory to have turned and to have actually moved in a completely different direction. And that, Chairperson, I think, is so important for us that it does not necessarily spell doom and gloom. It depends on your intervention, and it depends on a thorough sort of planning that you do and risk analysis. And therefore, I think I would like to focus my interventions on specifically the risk analysis. I'm talking about the corporate plan division, and here, if we look at support plan 2, risk management plan, I'm specifically on page 66. First of all, I could ask questions, both questions about every one of them, but I've now selected just the right number. First of all, aging analog TV, and maybe it links on to what Honorable Schinner said, but which this aging analog TV infrastructure, which is linked to delayed switches, analog switches, it is creating significant expenditure for certain entities. Now, to what extent is CTEC indicating to the shareholder the implications of additional expenditure for all entities, but in this case, obviously, for CTEC itself? Secondly, if power outages is a current reality, we know that the minister has indicated, Minister Lynn Brown, that it is important for us to plan. Now, going forward, you have indicated here that you would have a plan in place by January 2015. If we could be informed about what the plan is proposing, how to manage the power outages and the implications and impact on the system. Thirdly, I would like to go to the next page, and that is dynamic workforce. Now, we know we've had some complaints raised by some of the employees in CTEC, but what is CTEC doing to attract the right skills going forward and to make sure that also certain development programs are in place, which should be accredited, so that people can be part of lifelong learning and building their own capacities? To what extent have you developed such a plan, and could we have further sort of just indication of what they foresee in the future? Then fourthly, I'm going to skip that one. I would like to just lastly make comment to say about the fraud and corruption management plan that they have in place, and it also is detailed extensively in the corporate plan. I want to say that it tends to be very extensive, and I think what is good about it, Chairperson, is that they prefer it to get information in writing, although there is the necessary protection of individuals. If all our institutions can move towards implementing such a plan, I think we will be in a much better position to root it out in our public service and SOEs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks to the presentation and some of the questions that came from colleagues. On the slide 19, on the 330 resource distribution sites that operates, you said in three regions. Is it possible to just to mention them, those? And on slide 23, on your human capital, your key people program, the second from bottom, you have the reward and recognition strategy. I just want to be assured that you do not pay fishes for swimming, that you reward extraordinary, going the extra mile. Because people sometimes don't perform and expect bonuses and reward and recognition. See, if you don't, they blackmail you or they do all sorts of things. The other question was on the shortwave service that you think that you might be closing, that you consider closing. What are the real main causes that relate to that? And then on your the it's on your safety slide. Okay, it's fine. On the issue of crime has been cited in the past by the company. And so what measures have you put in place to help others with the emergency services, but also dealing with yourself before going out of your way and helping other departments like some emergency services? In what way have you, incorporated or addressed the findings of the portfolio committee on the overhead visit in your current corporate plan? And the half question is, when will the position of CFO be full time? Not anything. Thank you.
CEO,
yes. Thanks.
Honorable again.
Thank you, Chairperson. Other questions have been covered. I've got only one question. Can you please clarify the criteria used in terms of provincial breakdown of regional offices in terms of gender, employment levels, etc., to determine who qualifies and benefits from the performance of the company? Thank you.
Honourable members, thanks. I think for me, what I'm sitting firstly, Honourable Sabo touched on one of the areas, the issue of major issues were raised with us on a PNCO during our oversight visit. And I see in your slides and in your report you're speaking on the issues starting to resolve them at 2012. We were there last year, November. And it was very clear that the intention, though it's a good intention, the project it's a good initiative. But there were issues that members of staff, when we interacted with them in Sentek, could not see value in it, and they still raised the issue. And I just want to know from that point what has happened that sort of assures us that the turnaround, the implementation of the issues that you are raising here, because I expected by that time you would have started. There was specific mention around the issue of the HR manager, because major issues were around that area, soft issues. For example, recognition of equal pay for equal job. Those are the issues that were raised with us. Issues of certain people required to produce a particular qualification in order to receive a recognition, others are not. Maybe I can remember that it's just that the name was a bit technical for me to must certificate. The issue of that others were required, and there were issues of tools of trade, that you find people doing the same job but not giving the same tools of trade. So I thought, let me start there, because your slide that didn't give me an indication that you are doing a review of that process, because you started by speaking about 2012 and whereas we were there last year, and there was an indication that not everything is within what we expected to do. And that's that on your slide 23 that members have reflected. I think the other thing that is going to assist us as members of the committee, especially for oversight, is for Sentek not to allocate budget on programs, but per KPA. Because for us it will be easy to monitor the expenditure properly and to monitor the delivery. So I think it's something that in future we've got to look at and try and deal with it properly that way. Then the issue the issue of medium wave side, I noted there was an issue that, because my concern is around infrastructure. I couldn't get paid because I think the explanation was that the infrastructure should be used for public safety. The short wave, not the medium wave, the short wave in Meaton. The issue that the infrastructure there is going to, I'm not so sure what does that mean when you say we're going to use it for safety.
in each context? Is it not infrastructure that we have that is going to be more we've invested in that is becoming redundant and all things? Just that. And I think we know what DM has said in terms of the issue of the court case now, i.e. TV, because I saw it on the news. It was for me the concern, because with the meeting last week, we really thought that there's now progress when USASA presented, there's now progress in terms of the implementation of digital migration. Now there's another suffering. And I think it's a concern, I think what I'm assuming is the issue of the infrastructure that is there in USASA, in CENTEC, instead of moving to digital, still on analog, and having to refurbish that, for me, it's something that I'm worried about, and the cost of it, because it's going to be a waste that we're having. We've been to the site, some of us who were on the oversight. The infrastructure that is there is quite beautiful, and it shows that it's ready to go. But I'm just concerned that now we are putting money on something that we do not need, whereas we could be taking money to somewhere it's needed. For me, that's a concern that I have. And I note that neither CENTEC nor the department has authority. It's now in the hands of the courts. And I think it's just a sentiment that I carry, which is a bit worrying. The other thing, CENTEC on the soft issues, I think I'll come strongly there. The issue of the employment equity. Honourable Member McCain spoke about that you were able to deal with your labour unrest quickly the last time. But part of what we had picked up when we were there, that you had not had a labour from, employment equity from. There was a person that was not coming, but there was no constitution. The labour movement was raising with us and all those things. I don't know how far you are with resolving those things so that we do not have the recurrence of the same situation. Noting the importance of CENTEC and what you have as infrastructure to be a such situation if we are to see a labour unrest, and how you mentioned that, including that issue of the 13th check, that employees wanted guarantees that will receive their 13th check and what, how did you navigate around it? I think on the issue of regulatory issues, on the regulatory issues, what will be important for the committee? I think we'll have to call ICASA and the entities, because each time we are picking up, we meet with entities, there's issues they are flagging with us relating to ICASA. And maybe what we will have to find in our program, honorable members, is a day where we just look at regulatory issues that focuses not only on a particular matter one, but just to say, ICASA comes here, CENTEC, USASA, who, EBI, everybody else. Let's be under one roof so that everybody can say, this is our issues with the regulator and how we get out of it. Because it's worrying to see this thing recurring, coming up now and then, and we'd have to deal with them at some point. Because BBI in the morning, they had issues of licenses that they have not received. I know both of these are requesting the renewal of their licenses and all those things. So it's going to be quite important for us to really meet with the ICASA and know that they account, but in terms of ICT issues, they account to Minister, they report to Minister. So we'll have to get them to really clarify those things so that we can assist the entities in resolving. I know that nothing much from their side they can do with those things. So those are my comments and questions. I think it's quite important to appreciate the work that has been done in taking advantage that the former CEO of CENTEC is here, noting what he had inherited as CENTEC institution and what he has left as a legacy in CENTEC, and I hope the team that has remained will carry on. I think where people are doing well, we need to appreciate it and compliment them for the work that they've done. He left a very stable institution compared to what he has found, and it's something that is comforting. I think currently we sort of making an example with CENTEC quite regularly when we speak to other entities and how the finances are managed, programs are done, and the entities that get in audit. So you sort of, it's one of the entities that gives you a peaceful sleep when you go to bed at night. I think
think from my side, as I want to thank you for that work and more to Mr. Who has crossed the floor now with a new responsibility. Just to thank you for work that you have done, and together with the team that you had. I'm repeating this because you have left the institution, but you left a good legacy there. I think it's important for us to acknowledge that. Thank you very much. I'll give to the team to respond. I think the chairperson can start and allow others.
Thank you, chairperson. I will go through some of the questions and allow others for the acting CEO. Yes, the most ceremonial ones. the acting CEO, the COO, and also the executive of innovation will delve into some of those regarding the digital media services. On the question of the labor issues and that, as a board, I think what the acting CEO had already tabled a request that she look at, which will include the issue of the 13th chair that she has already requested making a submission to the board at the next board meeting of the 29th. So the management have already taken a view to make a submission and a recommendation of that. And as a new board, these are not things that we have deliberated on as yet, but we will be attending to it on the board meeting of the 29th, where the acting CEO has requested time on for to address that. We acknowledge the use of simple language. We ourselves, as the new board members, were quite caught up in the three-letter acronyms ourselves, and also we, as board members who are not in the day-to-day in the company, we will take active action to make sure that we are the arbiters of language and make sure that the language is correct and easy enough to be comprehensible to everyone. The acting CEO had also mentioned the issue of training and she will elaborate on it. But one of the things is essentially around the uniqueness of the business and the fact that some of the training that management see as essential for staff is defined and developed in-house. So there is a process which the acting CEO will get into around getting that in-house developed content certified, because it is a legitimate issue that there is training, but it does not get recognized. But on the other hand, there's always a balancing view that says that staff do need to get training somehow, but in the long term, yet it makes sense to get it certified. So that is a balance that management will continue to contend with. But there is action around collaboration to get the content certified, which the acting CEO was. And the same applies. The issue of morale, I think it's something that the acting CEO shared with myself, and it is something that we will have to look at holistically, because it has just come up, and the board has not had a deeper and more complete HR subcommittee, which is our nominations and remuneration group. But it is something that we clearly need to attend to, because in the communication with the acting CEO, again, it is something that she flagged, which we will address. And it is something that we will look at holistically, because it is not the sort of thing where you can put the issues that were pointed out are issues of a fundamental ethos and culture and how the organization deals with issues, which we'll have to tap into. On the appointment of the CEO, and first of all, I would also like to join the subcommittee and also acknowledge the stellar work that Dr. Mahapi has done in the organization, and also the board members as well who were there in terms of their elders, half of whom are still continuing in that. But the work and the thinking and the strategy that Dr. Mahapi left in place, is fairly impressive. What had happened is that one of the requirements were to make a certain submissions, and the nominations and Remuneration Subcommittee of the Board met, reviewed the job specs and also the draft terms and conditions that will be used for the recruitment process. We provided input, and now the document as it stands will be round robin for the board members for adoption, following which the regulatory requirement is that this should be submitted to the minister, and that process should be completed within the next few days. We anticipate that looking at the recruitment, the cycles that would, this is a process that may require potentially to get a new CEO probably around September, because a person at this level may be in a position where they have to some extended notice. There's an interviewing a window to also get candidates, so we're looking at a date in September. What that will necessitate is, in essence, also an extension of the period in which the acting CEO will continue to essentially wear two hats, one as the acting CEO and as the CFO beyond the 3 months. But that is something that we will be putting in writing to the minister. And with the timeline as well, that's already been worked on. I will now hand over to the acting CEO to address the rest of the issues, and particularly dealing with the cost and the granularity of why the two costs for Illumination and DTT.
Thank you. Just to answer the issue on page 8 of the report in terms of the 81 million coming from externally, that money is already in our books. It's coming from National Treasury specifically for the disaster recovery and also to finish up DTT in terms of the fog and light, greatest light. So the money it's not money that we have borrowed. I think we use the terminology external, meaning for grant funding. Yeah. The issue of the, I'm going to answer most of the issues and then answer the issue of the HR issues overall at the end. KPA is broken down into quarters. That was a comment. The issue of financial sustainability, where we need to balance revenue growth and increase in cost. I think we needed to make sure that we did a zero-based budgeting. So we needed to make sure that the operating cost that we are including in the corporate plan is a true reflection of what might happen. Obviously, we are putting processes in place. The COO will talk to the energy efficiency plan that we are going to put in place to make sure that we don't realize the 22%. But majority of that 22%, 60%, is the tariff that will come through ESCOM and the different municipalities. So that area of balancing between the two, we have taken an approach where we said it's better to cost everything. Obviously, if you look at the traveling, some of the non-essential costs, we have tried to make sure that we limit those. Even if we look at the traveling costs, it didn't increase at all. It increased, there was no increase because we believe that those are non-essentials and we need to cover the core of the business. And the additional transponder that we received in terms of the satellite cost, it's there in order to drive the new business initiatives around the digital media services that is in our corporate plan. But also, obviously, with that, there will be revenue coming in. So, and I think also we need to balance it between the public service mandate and being commercial. So if we go and we increase our revenue substantially, which will then affect like community broadcasters and other people who might not be able to pay, we have to balance the two. And with the analog, for instance, normally because there are no new services that we are offering, it's then what you need to do, you can only increase your revenue by the CPI or inflation. So that's what we have done. We did a very extensive research looking at how other centers of the world operate, and that's why then we're coming up with a new organizational redesign. So I think in the next phase of corporate planning, obviously, the situation in terms of financial sustainability would have changed, because we would have developed the necessary technology, the digital technology solutions, in order for us to attract more revenue. But the cost are the true reflection of what is in the corporate plan. Everything that is here has been costed. Obviously, using the procurement processes, we will make sure that we try and appoint service providers in line with the procurement process, but also in order to save costs. So we believe that whatever that is here is costed properly. If we look at the issue of the training, I think I should just touch on that quickly, because the chair has already dealt with that. The training offered, which is not accredited, normally this training is the ones that are we've developed in-house for technical people, but it was specifically for career progression. So we said, okay, how do our people, the technical people, move up the ranks if they know specific training that they need to get, specifically in the broadcasting industry, because there's no engineer out there who will say, I've been trained in the broadcasting industry. People go into engineering, general engineering, or ICT engineering, but without the broadcasting part. So what we do is we take the technical staff through specific training for broadcasting services that we are offering. And what we are doing, as the chair has mentioned, we have collaborated with two tertiary institutions, and one of the things that they need to assist us with is the accreditation process with SAWA. If we look at the issue of the dual illumination, and I'm going to link it to the issue of the unfunded mandate, because when we refer to the unfunded mandate, it was talking specifically to the dual illumination. So what we're saying is that for 2015-16, Treasury has allocated or appropriated money via the department to CENTEC, the 95 million was upset. However, for the two subsequent years, there is no money that is allocated, which means that only part of our MDEF has been funded. The other 2 years, we believe that it is a good idea for us to flag it, and we have been in discussion with both the department and national treasurer to make sure that that gets funded. And I think it's good to highlight that if there is a continued delay, obviously then it links to the issue that the chair was raising in terms of the, I think also Honorable Maseko was raising, relating to the issue of the infrastructure that is there that needs to be serviced. We built this infrastructure from 2008. The transmitters themselves, the lifespan is around 15 years or so. So we are not there yet. However, it will come where we need to start replacing some of those equipment. So that cost, we have not costed that replacement, because most of the equipment, they still have lifespan of around 7 to 10 years. But if it doesn't happen soon, we will obviously continue incurring this cost. If we then link it to the dual illumination, you ask the question to say, what is the period? There are two dual illumination. There's one before the announcement of the ASO period, which is what Treasury has been funding for the past years when we started with the rollout, and that's the one we're saying it hasn't been funded for 2017 and 2018. The estimate, we cannot say the other dual illumination, how long it will be, until the ASO is announced. The other issue is that you ask the question today, what is the cost So there's 95 million for this year. In the next financial year, it's around 130 million inclusive of that. So you have, and then other years, we just need to add inflation. So it's around 140 million including VAT. So those are the costs that we're talking about. But we haven't quantified the cost for the replacement of the aging infrastructure yet. I will ask Senti later to just talk to the digital media services. But what we've done is that we've looked at terrestrial television, whether it's analog or digital, and we've parked that at one of the business, one of the business units, meaning the broadcasting distribution services. That's the reason why DTT is not part of the digital media services. The issue of the risk management plan, I think I've spoken to the issue of the results of the digital system that we have built. It's the fact that if there's further delays, obviously we are spending money. Looking at our CapEx, we are spending money to make sure that the analog transmitters, we replace them. Because they are quite old. Majority of them are quite old. They are more than 15 years. Or they are more than their lifespan. Those figures we can provide to an extent that the committee wants it, in terms of how much have we spent so far in the aging analog TV transmitters. The COO will talk to the issue of the power outages. And then I will talk to the issue of how we are attracting the skills when I'm talking to the overall HR issues. The issue of the let me just go to straight to the issue of the site visit that the portfolio committee has done. So the portfolio committee visited Centec in October last year, 2014, November. In December, I think 2 weeks or 3 weeks after that meeting, we had a term that we introduced, I'm sure is there in the market, or is there within the HR field. We introduced a term called relationship by objective, where we took ourselves and the union, and this was facilitated by an external person, to find out what are the root causes of this breakdown in relationship between ourselves, the union, and the employees. Obviously, the union were representing the employees. Myself, the former CEO and the COO, we sat there for almost a week dealing with these issues. The outcome of that was a plan, which is signed by both parties, to deal with all those issues that have been raised. Just to answer directly in terms of what we have done with the specific issues, we have prepared a report in terms of all the issues that were raised, and that report has been forwarded to the department, who is consolidating the responses for all the different entities, I think obviously for submission to this committee. If we look at the issue of the pension check, in the agreement that we signed with the union last year, we said that we will agree on conceptual on concept with the union in terms of the form, the definition, how, and all those things. We have submitted our proposal to the union in December last year. They came back to us in February in terms of what is their response to our proposal. So we've had several meetings in order to sort of like agree. So this is something that we are going to be taking to the nomination and remuneration committee that the chairperson of the board was talking about. If we look at the issue of the tools of trade, I'll talk generally, even for the issue of the must certificate that are required from certain people and not from others. during that relationship, that engagement with the union, we actually reviewed almost all the policies, all the human capital policies were reviewed, and they were taken to the board meeting that happened in January. Then the board, that after consulting with the union, obviously there were certain things that we didn't agree upon, but majority of the things, of fundamental things, we actually did agree upon. Except the issue of the patent check, that's why we're going to take it to the next nominations and remuneration committee. The issue of the forum. So we have actually, after the meeting, the committee requested us to issue some documents within 5 days, which we did. And one of the documents that we provided was the issue of the employment equity forum, its terms of reference. And which, since then, we haven't had any problem relating to how the meetings are conducted and all those things. And then I'll just ask the COO to deal with the issues of the short wave, and then allocation of the budget to the KPAs. We've actually done that. Each and every KPA, but it's not in the, I wanted to say, it's not here in this corporate plan. We've done that in the lower level plan. So we will look at that in the future.
Thank you very much, CEO. I'll start with the issue of the regions and representatives. The on page 19 of the slides, you'll see where the slides basically reflect the offices where we operate from. We've divided ourselves into three regions. The regions are led by one colored and two black males. And then we've got the 15 operating centers under them, so each of them would have five reporting to them. The split is like this. We've got six white men. Basically, all out of the all 15, one is female. And the male one, we have appointed one and the first black female OC manager last year. So this, I think we have to read it in our historical context. As you may understand, the black people were not allowed to do math and science previously. And they were never given an opportunity to then be appointed as OC managers. So as part of our transformation journey, we, for the first time, we have appointed firstly a woman OC manager, secondly a...
So 1 year after democracy.
Yeah,
I'm just going to get yourself into trouble. That comment.
Yes. Yeah, my apologies, Chair. What happened was six white males were mainly about to retire. So what do we do? As people retire, then we then replace them. So we've appointed four African males to replace the retiring one. And then one Indian as well to replace the retiring one. So currently we've got the six white men. Five of them are almost about to retire, and we've appointed at the next layer.
Oh,
yes.
Let me help you. The issue is not about a white person being replaced by a black person.
Yeah.
The issue is probably around transformation and meeting the employment equity statuses.
Okay.
I think let's address it in that context.
Okay, yeah,
otherwise, the way you're putting it, like I was saying initially, you're going to get yourself into trouble. You'll get all of us into trouble.
Okay, thanks, Jay. So, let's move to the short wave one. The main reason why short wave is not doing well is that the technology is dying. It's a dying technology. It started in the 1920s. And then people have found many other ways of utilizing, of listening to shortwave, like they are listening to shortwave via internet in the continent and so on. So it's becoming all expensive to maintain. For example, you are using tubes to maintain this as part of space. One tube is 1 million. And then because the technology is old, for you to buy one tube, you are not allowed because they have to go to restart the factory. So you can only buy a minimum of 10. Hence, it's very expensive to maintain. But what we are going to use, because we've got the same skills, we've got the same towers that are utilized for public safety. So we were going to use the towers that we have in Melton to provide the same services for public safety. And on the energy efficiency, there were two issues. One is the reliability of the supply, which started when Eskom started to introduce load shedding. And our main concern there and our customer's concern was that our customers wanted reliability as to when they're going to be load shed. So we did with the short-term plan was to have a proper relationship with Eskom, whereby Eskom would then give us reliable information as to when are we going to load shed this place, so that we can then upfront inform our customers. So that, because they depend on advertising from their own customers. So if we inform them on time, they're able to then inform their customers on time, and then we then plan properly. So at the moment, we're busy with a long-term plan. We've already provided the budget in the price for diesel in our corporate plan, that we're going to start using more diesel because we've got the generators that we have. And then secondly, we're also looking at using solar energy for smaller sites. We're exploring that. We're doing a test run on that. And then by the end of the quarter one of this current financial year, we'll have a long-term plan that then address the issue of efficiency also and reliability. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think we'll take the second round. And what we are going to do is two comment questions from each member. I think there's something that I need to start with, CFO. page 52 and your explanatory notes on 54. Consulting. Government has taken the decision that consulting fees must go down, not up. You have gone up by 90%. We cannot accept that. And one of the areas, for example, you are talking about, we always say that you shouldn't have president speaking, saying let's go to left, and government entities and department going to right. Mm. So there must be a following of what the head of state says, because we utilize that based on what the president says and the minister of finance is our tools to follow the direction. So we ask for that compliance. In terms of the head of state. So when you look, for example, one of the issues that I have an issue about, if you can look at the, I think it's the last line, second last, consulting services to improve product and also professional and consulting expenditure to develop new organizational design in line with the revised corporate strategy. Are you saying to me, each year you are going to develop a corporate strategy, you are going to have consultant to assist you to realign? But as well, why would you go and find somebody to assist you to realign when you've developed the strategy yourself? I think inside Centec there's no capacity. Because government speaks and executive speaks about capacity of state to deliver upon its mandate. And that's what I'm saying about the issue of reducing one consultancy fee. What in this committee is acceptable of consultancy fee is 5%, nothing more. So you are going to have to revise that figure of your consulting. 5% of your budget. Because you cannot go. But another issue that we think, there's a process that the DG reflects on every time, the issue of SOE rationalization. Because most of the things you can't do until there's a clear position of your mandate. And that's when that should be the redesign of the organization and all that should be in line with it, can be separate. So we find it difficult to have entities going left when president says go right. So that's the issue we have. And maybe let me allow other members to come through. Honorable Sodesi, Honorable McKenzie, those are the two. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the follow-up on the backup that you have alluded to, the generators and stuff, if one could think of a worst scenario whereby power outage is taking longer than anticipated, what would be the capacity of your backup? And at all times when we get presentations, you always request information regarding the geographic location of what you connect because you can do overnight. We have here on page 37, the network supports in 18 public rail services, 18 commercial rail services, and 89 community services. If you do not have the information, so it is very difficult for us to do oversight. And lastly, on issues of HR, you know, in every organization, HR matters are very, you know, important. It's important the CFO and the CEO, starting from the general worker upwards to the large organization. From experience, you know, in the past, we have a presentation that is something and then go to meet the workers to get different information. So I think this time we're going to get something consistent so that we are able to move forward with the stability in the organization. And also maybe in our future engagement, if we have a breakdown in terms of the battery schemes, who benefited, and what are the conditions as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a general comment with respect on what you said about consultants. I think it's a very brave man that takes on the chairperson of the committee. But perhaps, and in Centec's defense, I think they're in a highly specialized environment, and we know there's a desperate skill shortage in this country. So perhaps if you could give us an explanation as to what those consultancies are, we might find that in this case and in this entity, there may be a very good reason why that has to exceed that benchmark of 5%. In principle, Chairperson, I do agree with you that we should use less consultants, but I look at this environment where I don't even understand the value channel.
I'm going to put you aside the
that was just a general comment in support of consultancies in a highly technical environment. On your on this presentation slide, there's slide number. It's the performance review, public service mandate, community FM radio expansion. You've given us quite a detailed slide on the incremental expansion of community FM radio coverage from 2010 to 2014. What I think would be interesting, just from an information perspective, is to know how many licenses you've issued every year. So we've seen an increase in listenership, and how does that then relate to the number of additional licenses? I think that would be a useful and informative. Thank you, Chavis.
Robert, you said the licenses are issued by ICAS, not them. No, that's unfair. Let's reserve that for our meeting
let me explain why I asked that question.
Give me the context of the work then.
Because if we've got an increase in listenership of, say, 20,000, and we've issued 20 radio licenses, then we've got 1,000 listeners per radio station, and, you know, it gives us an opportunity to have a look at that and say, well, you know, how important or how relevant is this increase in listenership on FM stations? It's just
to find it mandate.
All right, Chairperson, I will stick by my first point about your knowledge on the second.
Honourable Chairperson.
Chairperson, I just want to come back and just say thank you for the responses. I just, however, need clarity about the issue of HR management and the issue of the 13th check, etc. In view of the NDP and in view of government's approach to ensure that we do more with less type of approach, but bearing in mind that an entity such as Centec, such as all other entities, can't really deliver unless you have a focused and, can I say, content workforce, is the intention of the board that they should restructure the salary packages. In other words, Honourable Maseko has referred to the issue of paying a fish to swim. But on the other hand, workers workers are concerned because it's difficult to manage their salaries, and therefore they actually want to restructure their salary packages to have a 13th check, either at birthdays or at Christmas time. So I was just wondering if that was the intention, because if I look at the performance plan and I look at their talent management and their remuneration and reward strategy, I can't find anything wrong here. I was wondering if it's not just something basic and that there's a lack of proper communication with workers, because the same sort of problems are identified at some of the other institutions as well. And I just wonder sometimes if there's not a sort of a rift between management and workers. Do we have that interaction, regular interaction, and proper communication? So as far as the 30s check is concerned, what is it that they foresee? And will they regard better communication as a key component of a successful strategy? Thank you.
I think I'm going to allow them to answer the second part of the question. The first part request was that they are having their first board meet next week, and they will receive a presentation. But I think I need to make it clear. As a committee, we do not have stand whether the entity pays the team check or not, because it's not within our ambit or our mandate. So Chairperson Don Vivian in the committee said I was going to support this one. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is just to make sure we are concerned about the stability of the institution. And what I think that's, I'm trying to make sure that you understand the context of the issues that are raised. No, I don't intend to go. So there were ways that used that I felt a bit uncomfortable. That's why I'm specifically clarifying our position as the committee and what our mandate is. And I'll give over to you to respond to the question.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Yes, we do agree that the professional and consulting services looks a bit, it actually looks higher than normal. We do have a detailed breakdown. One of the things just to mention is that there is money that we have set aside for the organizational redesign. Obviously, this was it came from the fact that we needed to reorganize ourselves. And I think maybe the department can talk to the SOC rationalization. However, our intention and the board's intention was to make sure that we can be able to operate in a way that there is accountability in terms of who is responsible for these type of services. That's how we looked at it. And also the fact that we are entering the digital era and we need to reorganize ourselves. Yes, the people internal will be doing some of the work, but there is an element where we'll be getting services from people outside who've got access to international capacity or resources in terms of benchmarking how we are operating as ZENHEC and how we can best operate as an entity. And so that is one of the areas we'll obviously relook at. The other issue is the issue of the enterprise and supplier development. This is required that we do this. And it's required that we put aside, and perhaps what I should have done with my team was to make sure that we separate this amount from here. The law requires that we put aside 3% of our net profit after tax. We put aside around 4 million for that, and is included in the 21 million
R&D part.
The 3% is the enterprise development part. Yes, that's what we have. The other amount that is there. Obviously, with the new ways of how we need to do things. Like, for instance, if I want to introduce the OTT and the smart solutions, these are not the skills that are available currently in South Africa. So we will, if they are available, they are very limited in the country and within ZENHEC also. So obviously there will be a bit of money that will spend. So the most of this money is not like incremental to what we had last year. It's mostly new things that we are introducing. The committee has said that we are innovative. So in order for us to fulfill that, we need to at least get skills, but it's most once-off. It's not like in perpetuity. We will be spending money next year, we'll be coming and say there's another 21 million that we need to spend on top of the 21 that we've spent this year. No, it's more one-off. As and when we are developing the business cases, we then look at whether we've got capacity internally or not.
I agree that if something needs that breakdown, he will determine whether it's justifiable or not.
We will do that. The issue of the HR issue, I think I need to emphasize the fact that we have realized, I think, that there could have been better communication with the between ourselves and also between the ourselves, the union, and the staff members. So we've developed an engagement plan where each and every executive needs to meet with their own unit for so many times throughout this financial year. So that's something that we're going to encourage going forward and even monitor. The issue of the bursary. The issue of the bursary, if we look at in the past, Centec did have a bursary scheme. But that bursary scheme, you find that somebody is going to do something that is really unrelated to what they are doing. And it was not based on anything. So as part of the entire talent management, we actually stopped the bursary. We are reintroducing it in line with the talent management and the succession planning of the organization, and we will make sure that there are proper criteria that will be used to allocate bursaries. Because if we do not have a performance management system, people have not signed their performance agreement, how do you then say this person needs to be developed on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Yes, with short courses, they can attend short courses and even the courses that we do in-house. So as part of the holistic talent management processes, the issue of the bursary will then be catered for. I think that's basically it. And I will just ask the COO to talk to the power outrage. Power outages. And the community radio stations. But I think the chair has sort of like guided the response there.
Thank you very much, Chen, FTC CEO. On site number 37, we trust the information that is provided the station that I said. Most of our sites have got the generators. The generators capacity, most of them, they have run for more than 24 hours, which gives us enough time then to go and refill it, to refill and send technicians to the site. Thank you.
Just one last question, Chair. There was a question around whether the organizational design is going to be in line with the SOA personnel. I think after we've had the board meeting and we had the understanding of the proposed reorganization, then we as the board will request a meeting with the department to make sure that the alignment before any action is taken in that regard.
Just one last one that I didn't respond to. The issue of the betting check, that the union wanted a guaranteed betting check, meaning over and above, not as part of the salary. But we are engaging them on a different method, which is a phased-in approach, which will look at our affordability and all those things.
Thank you very much to the team of SATEC for the presentation, and all the best to the team and the new board members. I think I should just call for this tea break now so that when we take sitter, we go through the presentation and the questions and comments immediately. Just come back break for 10 minutes. Thanks.